Proverbs 25, verse 25 says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." For His Glory Bible Baptist Church of Union, Maine welcomes you to Good News from a Far Country. Let's join Pastor Mike Key as he brings us the good news from God's Word today.
Well, welcome back to Good News from a Far Country. Again, my name is Mike Key. I'm your radio host this morning, pastor for His Glory Bible Baptist Church, Union, Maine. Great to have you on board on life-changing radio, WBCI 105.9. I want to preach to you what, I don't know, I guess normally would be a hard message, and I found it not a hard message for me. I did preach this to my church a while ago. I spoke to you folks. It's been back on the radio now for a month, but had a sabbatical. It really wasn't a sabbatical of my choosing. I really can look back on it now and say the Lord was in it, and some things just conspired for me to have to take a step back, especially from the radio ministry for a while. And one of the main contributors to that sabbatical was the death of my father. My father died on August 7th at about 2:07 p.m. He died without Jesus Christ. My father went to hell. There's no doubt about that. I have no illusions of that. The Bible is true, let God be true and every man a liar. And emotion can't get in there and be a part of that. The Bible is the Bible, and there's no doubt about it. And I wanted to preach to you a little bit about my father, and if it could help one person, if it can be a warning to one person, then in my eyes, my father's death and him going to hell will be worth it all. And I didn't preach this message in the Maine State Prison, but I gave a testimony about my father. Of course, prison filled with addicts and drunks and that sort of thing. And I did share this with my church, and I want to share it especially with you folks this morning as well. I want to preach to you a message called Hellbound Train, the Death of Al Key. And again, my father, if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 14, I'll get there. In a moment, my father, Alan Floyd Key, died on August 7th, 2017. I was there when he died. He lived in New Jersey, and so some of you know how difficult that is when you've got a family member, especially a parent lives out of state, and you're dealing with end-of-life care and that whole thing, and so that was part of me being away from the radio for a while. At 2:07 p.m., I sat there and watched my father board that hellbound train. When I received a copy of the obituary for me to edit with my stepmother, his third wife, the third wife finally stuck because he met her at the end of a bar stool. She's a raging alcoholic as well. And so it was a marriage made in hell, if you will, and exactly what he needed to find. And so this one was going to stick for a while. But the first line of the obit, there were two things I wanted to change that unfortunately I got overruled about. The first thing was is his full name is Alan Floyd Key, but his third wife wanted Alky in there, you know, because it was a fun play on names. That they used to love to do with my father. You know, Alky is short for alcoholic. My father's name was Alky. And of course, fools make a mock at sin, and that's what Proverbs 14 and verse 9 says. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. And my father, his whole life made a mockery of alcohol, made a mockery of sin. My father, long before he died, was going to have a colorectal exam. But as many of you have probably had that procedure know, before that exam, the day before, the night before, you're to drink only clear liquids. My father went to his favorite bar, a bar which he helped establish, by the way. And he held up a bottle of vodka to all the patrons and all his friends. And he said, "This is clear liquid," and drank the bottle of vodka. That's my father. Fools make a mock at sin. While I was taking my unscheduled sabbatical, if you will, from WBCI, one of the people that we played on the radio while I was away was Earl Ankrum, and hopefully you enjoyed him. He's a great preacher. We love to have him in. We have him in about two times a year. Check our church website for His Glory, BibleBaptistChurch.com, to see when the next time we're going to have him in. We don't have him scheduled yet, but hopefully you enjoyed him. He shared with me a testimony about his mother and her mocking of sin. His mother drank her liver out of her body, and she died about 6-7 years ago. And Earl was telling me that he came off the road. He had to come off the road and deal with his mom like I had to deal with my father a little bit there. And he was sleeping in her room. And of course, she was lost as could be, lost as a polar bear in a snowstorm. And he was trying feverishly to win her to Jesus Christ. And one time her grandson came in. Her daughter, Earl's sister, was a crack whore and had the baby out of wedlock, and she couldn't take care of herself, nevertheless a kid. So Earl's mother raised this kid like it was her own. And of course, he came to visit his grandmother, who really raised him like a mother. And he came to visit, and she sat up in bed, and she said to him, "Guess what happened to me?" And he said, "What happened to you, Grandma?" And she said, "I got saved. I got born again." And then she looked over at Earl and she looked back at him and she said, "No, I didn't. I'm just kidding." And laid back down in the bed. And she died a horrific death. The second thing on my father's obituary that I wanted to remove was the fact that it said on 2:07 p.m. he died peacefully. Listen to me, folks. I watched my father die. And it was one of them. And listen, I'm a pastor. I've been in a lot of end-of-life situations with family and with church folk. I've seen a lot of that. I know what it looks like. My father died a horrific, horrific death. He was gasping for air. At the end of that thing, he was taking a breath every 30 to 45 seconds. There were once or twice where we called it that he died. Listen, I'll tell you how horrific it was. I know my father's going to hell, and I want every waking moment that he's got left trying to, hopefully that he can hear something and that he'll go to heaven, that he'll trust Christ as his Savior, and he's laying in his filth, and he's a mess. And the nurse comes in and says, "If we try to clean him, if we move him, he'll die." And I looked at my stepmother, and she looked at me, and I gave my consent to go ahead and move him. It was so horrific in there that you almost wanted him to go. And in the end, they upped his morphine, and they upped it enough that it killed him anyway. He died a horrific death. Fools make a mock at sin. His web email address was Key Monster. My father was a monster of iniquity. He drank his liver out of his body. He was diagnosed with cirrhosis of liver 1 year ago. Folks, in order to even get the symptoms of cirrhosis of liver, you must drink 3 to 4 12-ounce beers a day, or 16 to 32 ounces of wine a day, or 8 ounces of hard liquor every day, 7 days a week, for at least 10 to 15 years to begin the process of damage that leads to cirrhosis of the liver, which can become irreversible, which shuts down your kidneys, your lungs, your liver, and you die of a horrific death. That's what my father had. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived is not wise." With regards to wisdom, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "Now fear is the beginning of wisdom." The only thing my father ever feared in his life was last call for drinks at the bar. Was last call for drinks at the bar. My father was deceived. In actuality, my father committed suicide in the hospital. He had been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver about a year ago. He then went on, he quit liquor. The doctor said, you don't quit, you die. He quit liquor, went on vacation to Mexico with his third wife, with his alcoholic wife. She cared so much about him that she didn't even try to stop drinking. You know, it would be that would have been a nice thing to do, you would think, huh? It had to have been a terrific test to my father, temptation with her drinking. And she didn't give it up, and he fell off the wagon on his vacation, knowing he was going to die. And then when the doctors came in and said, this is irreversible, now you're going to die from it because you can't drink anymore, my father stopped eating. He committed suicide in the hospital. He stopped eating. He refused a feeding tube, and he did it for one reason and one reason only. He couldn't drink anymore. And I want you to think about that. My father was deceived. His wife, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, or even his friends weren't worth fighting for. Alcohol was his friend. Alcohol was his family. And if you didn't drink, you were not family. If you didn't drink, you weren't family. Habakkuk and chapter 3, or chapter 2, and verse 5 says this, yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Did you read that? Let me read that first part again. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home. My father went from woman to woman. My father did not leave my mother because he stopped loving my mother. My father left because he didn't love his kids. He didn't like the kids. My mother didn't drink, so that was already a problem. If you didn't drink, you weren't family. Neither keepeth at home. That's what alcohol will do. It'll break up families. Alcohol is still, in 2017, October of 2017, alcohol is still the number one killer in the United States of America. 10+% of every adult death in the United States is related to alcohol. And alcohol is a chief destroyer of families. Alcohol is a sin. It'll take you farther than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it will cost you more than you wanted to pay. Let me read that again, because some of you ought to write that down. Sin. Alcohol. Doesn't matter what the sin is. Will take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. I want to read you a poem. This poem's over 100 years old. It's called The Hellbound Train. My father, on August 7th, boarded it at 2:07 p.m. I was there when he boarded it. I said goodbye. A Texas cowboy lay down on a barroom floor, having drunk so much he could drink no more, so he fell asleep with a troubled brain to dream that he rode on a hellbound train. The engine with murderous blood was damp and was brilliantly lit with a brimstone lamp. An imp for fuel was shoveling bones while the furnace rang with 1,000 groans. The boiler was filled with lager beer, and the devil himself was the engineer. The passengers were a most motley crew, church member, atheist, Gentile, and Jew, rich men in broadcloth, beggars in rags, handsome young ladies and withered old hags, yellow and black men, red, brown, and white, all chained together. Oh, God, what a sight! While the train rushed on at an awful pace, the sulfurous fumes scorched their hands and face. Wider and wider the country grew, and faster the engine flew. Louder and louder the thunder crashed, and brighter the lightning flashed. Hotter and hotter the air became, till the clothes were burned from each quivering frame. And out in the distance there arose a yell. "Ha ha," said the devil, "we're nearing hell." Then oh, how the passengers all shrieked with pain and begged the devil to stop the train. But he capered about and danced for glee and laughed and joked at their misery. "My faithful friends, you have done the work, and the devil never can a payday shirk. You've bullied the weak, you've robbed the poor, the starving brother you've turned from the door. You've laid up gold where the canker rusts and have given free vent to your beastly lust. You've justice scorned and corruption sown and trampled the laws of nature down and have drunk and rioted, cheated, plundered, and lied and mocked at God in your hell-born pride. You have paid full fare, so I'll carry you through, for it's only right you should have your due, while the labor always expects his hire, so I'll land you safe in a lake of fire, where your flesh and waste in the flames that roar, and my imps torment you forevermore." Then the cowboy awoke from an anguished cry, his clothes wet and sweat with his hair standing high. Then he prayed as he had never prayed till that hour, to be saved from his sin and from the demon's power. And his prayers and his vows were not in vain, for he never rode that hell-bound train. My father never awoke to repent. Fools make a mock at sin. Alcohol is that hell-bound train. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Look with me in verse 31. "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself." All right. That's exactly what the Bible says about hell in Isaiah 14:9. It says hell moveth itself. Hell is very accommodating this morning, Christian, lost person listening. The devil is one of the most accommodating, hospitable people you'll ever meet. He'll always point you in the right direction of a drug dealer. He'll always give you the money, whether through theft or whether through extortion or fraud or whatever, to be able to afford your addiction, to keep it going. And he'll mock you while you chase the dragon. Verse 32, "At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." You know what I have written in my Bible? There are two snakes in every bottle of alcohol. Verse 32, "And at last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." There's two devils in every bottle of liquor you consume. And my father got those devils in him. And they took him on board a hell-bound train. And my father's in hell right now. You know why? Because fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. My father mocks sin. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25 says there's pleasure of sin for a season. There's pleasure of sin. Dot, dot, dot. For a season. And my father found pleasure in that sin, but it took him farther than he wanted to go, cost him more than he wanted to pay, and now he's in hell, and it'll keep him there longer than he ever wanted to stay. And there's no escape. Bible says in Numbers 32, verse 23, "But be sure your sin will find you out, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." James chapter 1, verse 15. And Romans 6, 23 says that you will have earned a wage for that pleasure of sin and its death, along with hell, which is the second death. Every man expects a wage for his hire. And the wages of sin is death. And my father on August 7th at 2:07 p.m. got his wage for his hire of alcohol. He earned that wage for that pleasure of sin, and it's death along with hell, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20. You know what? I have a promise of the scriptures, and this is not a good promise for me. I have a promise of the scriptures that I will see my Father one more time. I'll see my Father one more time. It's at a judgment called the White Throne Judgment, the Great White Throne Judgment. And everybody, every fool will be there that made a mock at sin. And the Bible says, according to the Bible in the book of Daniel, that the saints of God, that's you and I, will be witnesses to that. And I'll have to see my Father one more time. And I'll have to see him cast into hell one more time. I saw it in the hospital. I saw it there. I saw my Father in no amount of morphine could take the anguish and the pain and the fear. My Father, when I got to that hospital room hours before he died, his eyes were open and they never blinked in the hours, and the expression on his face was absolute fear. And I saw him get on that hellbound train, and I'm going to have to see it one more time. And this time it's going to be an angel when his name's not found written in that book of life. You know what that Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know when that is? You know when that is, Christian? That's after the great white throne judgment. I couldn't cry for my Father in the hospital room, knowing he went to hell. I couldn't. I don't know why, folks. I don't know why. I couldn't cry. I knew where he went. I couldn't cry. But I have a feeling the next time I see my Father at that great white throne judgment, I'm going to cry there. And that's why the tears are wiped away after that. Don't go. Don't go to hell. Don't get on that hellbound train. Don't board it. You don't have to. You got a problem, Christian, with drugs, with alcohol? It'll take you farther than you wanted to go, cost you more than you wanted to pay, and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. Fools make a mock at sin. You're mocking sin. Lord bless you. Might you be a blessing to him.
Good News from a Far Country is part of the Bible Outreach Ministry of For His Glory Bible Baptist Church of Union, Maine. For more information on service times and directions, go online to forhisglorybiblebaptistchurch.com or call 701-1962.